The reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are. I'm Rob Steele. He is Todd Vandenberg, and we're going to start with, well, we're going to get the depressing stuff out of the way, because there was some depressing news this week. We lost three great actors, really.
We did.
Kirk Douglas, at age 102, I did not realize he was that old.
Yep.
Nor did I realize his son was a clone.
Kind of seems that way, right?
It's just weird. But yeah, he was 102, so it's not like he was unexpected.
Right.
Robert Conrad died at age 82 of heart failure, which at 82, I kind of get. And I'm going to be horrible the way I phrase this now, because I'm going to add in 91-year-old Orson Bean, who I realized was not as popular an actor as Kirk Douglas or Robert Conrad, but he did not die of 102 or heart failure or cancer or anything. I found this out this morning. He was run over by a car.
Yeah.
Age 91, which like I said, I know this is going to sound horrible. I like the way that he went out, in that it's not the, oh, he had a heart attack. Oh, he had cancer. No, Orson Bean was hit by a car. That's, right. You know, you don't hear that very often anymore.
Not in your 90s, no.
No, maybe it was a Prius, because, you know, it was very, it's running quiet. In electric mode, it was quiet.
It's quiet.
I know I'm making light of this, but I think it's nice to see someone die of something that's not being blatantly murdered or you know, some sort of malady like cancer or something.
Well, given Orson Bean's wit, and that's what he was known for, he was first, like, really came to prominence, I think, overall as a panelist on shows like What's My Line and I've Got a Secret, things like that, like in the 50s through 60s. And he was known for having a quick wit, which there aren't many people around anymore that's their calling card, is like, I'm smart and funny. That's why I'm on, you know, TV. So he probably would have appreciated the fact that he went out, you know, unlike, I'm not going to let, you know, cancer get me. He's like, I'm going to get hit by a car. So yeah, he went out in an active way. And I think he probably would have appreciated the, not that he appreciates being dead, I'm sure, but
well, yeah,
he was 91. So yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like, that's, if you're going to go and hopefully it was quick, but that beats the heck out of 6 months of painful
cancers
slowly going away.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Kirk Douglas is of course an icon in Hollywood, and I'm sure they'll have a special thing at the Oscars tonight, and hopefully for Robert Conrad. Because Robert Conrad was, to me, he's as big in the realm of television as Kirk Douglas was in films. Favorite show growing up is The Wild Wild West. I mean, that's just an iconic role, an iconic TV show. So, and Orson Bean, a lot of people might not remember, but he was the voice of, the Frodo. First voice of right, Bilbo.
Yeah.
In The Hobbit. The animated version of The Hobbit, which is a pretty cool film that Ralph actually did. So,
no, he didn't do the Bass.
Oh, sorry, that was Rankin Bass
version.
Rankin Bass, yeah, which is actually still pretty good. But Orson Bean, he's a big part of the charm of that.
If you don't remember the Rankin Bass version, it's the one where the guy singing in the background who sounds like a goat.
Yeah,
that's the one downfall of it is that, you know, you have Goat Boy singing in the background.
Well, it's Rankin Bass too, but Orson Bean was great in that. So.
Oh yeah, and actually, you mentioned the Oscars. Let's Orson, Oscar. They're very close alphabetically. And for those of you going, guys, it's Tuesday. The Oscars were 2 days ago. We record Sunday morning,
right?
Because, you know, we have other things to do during the week, apparently. so yeah, the Oscars have not happened yet for us, and frankly, I've got nothing on the Oscars this week other than the, who do you think is going to get Best Picture? And wait, wasn't there a thing with Twitter this week where they accidentally released who they think is who the Oscars released, who they think is going to win the Oscars themselves?
Yeah, which is a really, why, how could that even possibly happen? It's like, why are you putting this in any kind of format where it could accidentally go out on Twitter? I don't think it was accidental at all. I think it was just, let's get some buzz about the Oscars any way we can.
It's my understanding that it was supposed to be a someone famous or an odds maker or something said, here's who this odds maker thinks is going to win. And they left that part out. Oops.
That's still,
which is the whole point of putting out in the first place, but
eh. Right. I'm not really thrilled with the Oscars because, and I mentioned this before, but the fact that Lupita Nyong'o's wasn't nominated at all when technically she could have been nominated for Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress because she plays two different roles in Us. So that to me is an absolute travesty. I was going to watch Judy, biography of Judy Garland. Renee Zellweger got lots of rave reviews for it. And I watched the trailer and I could not force myself to push the rental button because Zellweger, she has a good voice. She's a good singer, especially for someone who's mainly an actress. But, you know, if you're going to portray one of the best singers of all time, it's like you better have a great voice. She doesn't have a great voice. And it just so jarring is like, nope. And then now the scenes in the trailer where she's portraying the person, it looks great. When she's singing, it's like, why did you even try this? I understand that maybe you don't want to go with just having her lip sync Garland songs. Great. But there are other actresses out there who would have done a much better job. I remember the movie Little Voice, where the character mimics a lot of different singers. She's much closer to Garland. And it's just like, nope. So, for that reason alone, that movie shouldn't have been made, let alone she shouldn't have been nominated. But Lupita Nyong'o not even nominated, that is a freaking travesty. And I've seen two performances now of an actress who is nominated for both Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress. We'll get to one of those movies in a little bit. She's great, but there's no reason in hell that she should have been nominated above Lupita Nyong'o. So Oscars really, really... really pissed me off. So I kind of don't even care what wins tonight. I mean, I'll watch it because there's always at least one cool acceptance speech. And by the time you've heard this, you will know which acceptance speech was awesome and wonderful. And you'll know which picture won. I think it's going to be 1917. We'll find out. But that's enough Oscar talk for me.
Anna Paquin. Yeah. Didn't she win an Oscar once?
She did.
So that's my segue to the next story. Anna Paquin is not going to be in Captain Marvel 2. That is actually a headline, which I think was really bizarre that they would phrase it that way. But it does make sense when you find out what they're planning on doing with Captain Marvel 2. Now, a lot of people who know the books know that one of the big things with Carol Danvers, and she wasn't Captain Marvel at the time, she was Miss Marvel, don't care, the bad guy, or at least one of the bad guys in Captain Marvel 2 is going to be Rogue, not played by Anna Paquin. That they announced that this week, and I think that's very cool. And some of you are going, wait, Rob, Rogue is one of the X-Men. Guys, not at first, she wasn't. In the books, Rogue has a lot of extra powers. She can fly, she's really strong, and you kind of go, doesn't that sound like Captain Marvel? That's because Rogue's first appearance in Avengers Annual number 10, if you want to be really picky. Yes, I know this off the top of my head. Geek, maybe, a little bit. The first appearance, you get the book, and you open the book, and the first thing you see is Carol Danvers, Miss Marvel at the time, who has the same powers as her Captain Marvel, being kissed by Rogue, who admittedly I couldn't tell was male or female at first. Don't care. And this was a kiss that lasted several panels, which explains why Rogue's ability to absorb powers and memories became permanent. And that's how Rogue got her powers in the book. They're doing that in this movie. Only I assume that Rogue is going to be a little less androgynous. She joined the X-Men later once she realized that Carol Danvers and whoever Rogue's real name was, it wasn't Marie, became permanently fused and she couldn't tell who she was anymore. Professor Xavier, help me. You're my only hope. I will get to Star Wars in just a moment. But I think that's great. And it led to Kevin Feige announcing, yes, the X-Men are coming, probably not until Phase 5 or Phase 6 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But when he introduces the X-Men, it will be without Magneto because we've used him too many times already. Actually, they haven't. It's 20th right. Century Fox who used the crap out of him, and people are burnt out on the character. I love that news.
I do too. I had not read the thing about Rogue being in Captain Marvel 2, that's an awesome choice. I love that. That's kind of out of left field, except it has a strong basis. So it makes perfect sense. I love the fact they're not going to back to Magneto. Great character, absolutely. But what this really means is we won't be getting another damn version of Dark Phoenix for a long time either. Because if they're smart enough to stay away from Magneto, they're clearly smart enough to stay away from the damn Dark Phoenix story. So great. Will they come eventually? Will we see Magneto? Yeah, probably like in phase, what will it be, 8 or whatever?
Yeah.
Of course we'll see Magneto. Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely fine. Not really news that you will see the X-Men is like, duh, you bought Fox. Of course we'll see the X-Men. But I really like the fact that, okay, we're going to get bits and pieces of characters who maybe later became X-Men. I mean, that's coming up pretty quickly. So that's awesome news. Excellent.
And it all comes from 20th Century Fox screwing it up. So no Magneto. But 20th Century Studios had some news this week in that they're reducing their schedule. They used to produce 7 to 8 movies a year, plus their TV show or shows. Like they just had one. They had a whole channel up. Now they are being reduced by, now that they're bought by Disney, they're being reduced to just 4 movies a year once we get these 8 Avatar sequels out of the way. Which has caused several people to, at 20th Century, not Fox Studios, to quit, which they've got nothing else to do. I get that.
Might as well quit because they probably would have been downsized anyway. I mean, they already had gone through some downsizing, so...
Yep.
That's not exactly, I mean, it's interesting, but it's not, unless you work there, it's not exactly bad news. Hopefully this will also help them not rebrand, but basically make sure it's identified as, okay, this is what 20th Century Films look like. This is the kind of film we do. I think that's really smart.
Yeah. So no more Star Wars films with the 20th Century logo on them. I told you I was going to get to Star Wars. That's... Mm-hmm. As close to a segue as we're going to get. Now, longtime listeners know my favorite Star Wars character is Wedge Antilles. And yeah. I'm going to throw a little personal news in this week because I collect Wedge's action figures. And they came out with a new one this week that I astoundingly found at my Walmart. I didn't have to order it from somewhere. I said, holy crap, it's at my Walmart. And I, of course, put it in the cart and it's over there. But that's when it occurred to me that something is missing from Rise of the Skywalker is action figures, because there aren't any, really, compared to the other ones. I mean, that's how Star Wars made a ton of money, is they're responsible for action figures as we know it today. I mean, before Star Wars, you had the one G.I. Joe figure who was the size of a Ken doll, and that doesn't count, really. You get the 4-inch action figures of... you know, Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. And that was a thing for Star Wars because absolutely everybody eventually got their own action figure. I mean, down to the point of, and I'm going to go back to the Phantom Menace, and this is one that really annoyed the crap out of me. There's a sandstorm coming, Annie. You better get inside. Well, thanks, old lady. We'll make sure to get you a mass market action figure before we make one of Wedge. Wedge being one of the heroes of episodes 4, 5, and 6, damn it. But no, we'll make one of the old lady. That's fine. But it occurred to me, you know, Wedge did have his 3-second cameo in Rise of the Skywalker. Maybe there's an action figure from the movie. And I looked it up. Do you know how many Rise of the Skywalker action figures there are?
I'm going to guess 5.
Well, actually, that's not all that far off. There are a total of 29 Rise of the Skywalker figures.
That was actually very far off. But
no.
That's not a lot considering how many there normally would have been, right?
There's 150 of Star Wars Episode 1, by which I mean A New Hope, by itself. Thing is, there's not really 29 action figures because 8 of them are variations of the Red Stormtrooper. There are 2 Kylo Rens, 3 Reys, 3 D.O.'s. If you don't remember D.O., D.O. was apparently the name of the hair dryer on a wheel.
Yeah.
He's got, how the hell do you have 3 of that? It's a hair dryer with a wheel. I don't know how you can make variations of it, but they did, 3 of them. But that's really about it. There is, of course, not a Wedge figure, but it really surprised the crap out of me that there is not a figure for Chewbacca or Lando or Luke or Leia or Yoda or R2-D2, C-3PO? Yes, not R2. Or Finn or BB-8?
That's really strange. Very strange choices.
They do not have figures, which just confused the crap out of me. I don't understand their logic behind that.
It's like they forgot that's where a lot of their income came from. And I've never seen a breakdown, but I would be willing to bet that like at least a quarter of the revenue that Star Wars has generated came from those toys.
I think it's probably more. I mean,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
They were huge, but
weird choices.
I
mean,
I think so. But
so you get three action figures of the hairdryer on wheel and not even one of Finn?
No.
Hmm. Or Lando. I mean, some of the others I can kind of see. Not really, but I can kind of see. But
well, I think one of the Kylo Rens was with and without helmet.
Yeah, of course. Because okay, that's what you're going to do. But nothing of Lando?
No.
Character comes back after decades and you don't have one of them. It's like very weird choice. Very weird choice.
You know, action figures are not just for kids. Like I just said, I bought one this week. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, not that the point. Let's get on to some movie reviews.
Not choices.
And I'm going to kick off this week. No, it's not a musical. It has nothing to do with music at all whatsoever. It does kind of tie in with action figures in that I'm going to review a kid's movie. I'll throw a twist at you. Like I said, not a musical. It's almost a silent movie because there is no dialogue. I mean, there's music in the background. Every so often there's a song where someone sings something kind of crappily. But it's a movie that I watched just based on the title. It's called Farmageddon. It's a Shaun the Sheep movie.
Oh, God.
And this came out at the end of last year. And some of you are going, Shaun the Sheep? Isn't that the claymation thing? Yes, it is. That's the other reason I watched it. Because it looked cute. I wanted to know if kids would be interested in watching this. And you know what? I think there's enough in it that parents will get something out of it, too. Short form of the plot. If you don't know Shaun the Sheep, Shaun is apparently a female sheep. I did not know this. I did not care about this either. It's a claymation sheep who is very mischievous and gets all the other sheep in trouble. And there's a dog that I'm sure has a name. But like I said, no one talks in this. So I don't know what the dog's name is. It's a sheepdog, tries to keep the sheep in line through the whole movie. Puts up signs, thou shalt not use this cannon to shoot other sheep out of, and you shall not use this as a skateboard ramp and all this stuff. no joyriding in the crop. What are the big scythe things in the front that does crops? What are those called?
Threshers.
Thank you. I knew there was, it kind of went with thrasher, with the skateboard thing. No joyriding in the thresher. This kind of stuff. Except in this movie, a spaceship has crashed. And the small alien befriends Shaun and tries to get home. This is all completely oblivious of, or ignored by the oblivious owner of the farm. Except that he tries to build, knows that because of there was a UFO spotted, and there might be an alien running around. I can afford a new thresher since the sheep seems to have crashed my other one and build a UFO amusement park so I can buy this new thresher that I found in Top Farm magazine. Yes, it's built up like Top Gear. That's one of the many jokes that you're going to get, that adults are going to get, that kids are going to go, I don't quite understand why mom and dad are laughing at this, nor will they understand all the Doctor Who references, I suspect, because it's not new Doctor Who. It's old school Doctor Who. Like they find the crashed UFO. The alien is looking through it for a part, picks up the old sonic screwdriver. It makes the sonic screwdriver noise. It goes, I don't need this, and throws it over its shoulder. It's just a little bit that makes you go, I know that. That was funny. At one point, they need to sneak into the amusement park that's been built. So the sheep disguise themselves as Daleks. Which is just kind of odd until they get
that's weird.
They're going past a porta potty, which of course is a big blue box. And stepping out of the big blue box is Tom Baker in his costume, who gets freaked out by the sheep in the Dalek costumes. It's just little subtle humor things throughout this. Yes, there is a lot of childish humor, but you know what? It's claymation. It's for the kids. If your kids are under 10, or if you happen to be a sci-fi fan, there's going to be a lot of stuff in this for you. A lot of the Men in Black, not Will Smith or Thor show up in this movie as such, but it's the Men in Black motif that are tracking down the UFO. This actually bugged me for a minute because I recognized the whistle that the main woman in black has to do to get into her office because it's a whistle code. It's the X-Files theme.
Wow.
There's a lot of very subtle humor in this, and it was a fun movie. My kids enjoyed it. Your kids will probably enjoy it. Shaun the Sheep, Farmageddon, now available at home from a variety of sources. And, you know, I think using a Shaun the Sheep movie as a segue for the next one kind of works, because I went from sheep and you're going to go into something about rabbits, although I suspect it is a horrifically different type. Well, it's still got the comedy bit, but...
Totally a comedy.
Yeah.
Totally comedy. If you can see the humor in Nuclear Armageddon, or let's see, or the humor in Nazis, yeah, that's a good move. You will find the humor in Jojo Rabbit. Jojo Rabbit, a film from Taika Waititi, not only wrote the screenplay, directed it, and is a co-star in the film. It is about a 10-year-old boy who is in the Hitler Youth. This takes place late in World War II, so kind of makes sense that he would be in the Hitler Youth. Takes place in Germany. Jojo is actually Johannes, but he's nicknamed Jojo. In the Hitler Youth, he's kind of a shy, timid guy, but he's super gung-ho pro-Nazi because that's what he's being raised in. And so much so that his imaginary friend is Adolf Hitler, played by Taika Waititi. And Waititi does a brilliant job of lampooning Hitler. And he has a few moments where he is the strident, basically the inherent evil of the character comes out, but only a couple times. Most of the times he's just kind of this idiotic buffoon, which is the big part of the point of the movie. And the boy, again, he's like super pro-Nazi, he's crazy. They call him Jojo Rabbit because he's so timid, and they compare him to a rabbit because he wouldn't kill a rabbit in the training portion. He has an accent. He's kind of blown up, but not really, just enough so that they can make jokes about his disfigurement, which isn't very terrible, but that's what they tell him all the time, just to make him feel bad. He lives at home with Mama. Mama is a wonderful person. She's a terrific mother. She's also hiding a Jew in the attic, unbeknownst to Jojo, until later on Jojo finds this out. Jojo, being a wonderful young Nazi, is not happy about this situation, so we have this... battle of wills between Jojo and the Juden hiding in the attic. And it's extremely funny. So this is like a weird, funny take on Anne Frank, if you can imagine that. But there's a long tradition of this. I mean, The Great Dictator came out, I believe, in 1944. But Charlie Chaplin played a dual role in that film where he portrayed a Jewish barber who is mistaken for Hitler, and he also plays Hitler. So, in which, again, is just to point out the absurdity of that kind of just that hate-filled, horrible philosophy. So that was the point of The Great Dictator. That's the point of Jojo Rabbit. And it's the journey that Jojo takes from being this awful, hate-filled child who isn't really. It's just that he's parroting the things that he's heard and growing into an actual person and figuring out, oh, this is what people are really like. There's so many funny parts about how, you know, he's asking Elsa to just the Jew hiding in the attic, asking her to describe what Jews are like. And her first line regarding that is like, we're a lot like you, except human, which which is fantastic. And there's so many hilarious, wonderful lines in this film. It is a comedy drama, though. There are some scenes which are kind of hard to take. There are some really tough things because it does take place during a war after all. So it goes in some pretty dark places, and it kind of has to tell the story, to make the point. But quite a while ago, I talked about Motherless Brooklyn, and Edward Norton wrote the screenplay, or co-wrote the screenplay, directed the film, and starred in the film. Now here we have another absolute work of genius by another auteur who's like wrote, directed, starred. And absolutely, Jojo Rabbit is one of the best movies last year. If you think it's kind of pushing the envelope to have a movie about a kid whose imaginary friend is Hitler, you're missing the whole point. That is the point, just of how people's philosophies and the culture of hate can poison people, and how we can rise past that, that is the entire point. But full of great performances. I mentioned Scarlett Johansson earlier. Again, she plays the mom in this, and she's nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. She should be. She's excellent in this. She was excellent in Marriage Story. But again, Lupita Nyong'o is better in her roles, but that's besides the point. Definitely you should watch Jojo Rabbit. There aren't a whole lot of movies like this that are so dark, like Dr. Strangelove, The Great Dictator, the Springtime for Hitler sequence in The Producers. You don't see this kind of stuff very often. And I think for good reason, it's a very sensitive subject, but I think this is probably the best take I've seen on ridiculing that the whole Nazi culture. Jojo Rabbit is excellent. Highly recommended. And I do want to mention Roman Griffin Davis plays Jojo. Excellent young actor. Thomasin McKenzie plays Elsa, who is hiding out and in the attic. She is also, everyone's great, but she's the other, really the other lead role. So awesome, awesome work by all the actors. Indeed.
Yeah, there ended up being a lot of people in that movie that I wasn't expecting. I watched the trailer and I'm ready to watch the movie, and I was going to do it for next week's show, but you beat me to it.
You can still do it.
What is it? Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant, yeah.
He's what, like an SS guard,
I'm guessing? He is an SS officer. It's a comedy, but he's kind of terrifying. He has a few funny lines.
He's also huge. He's like 6'10" or something.
Yeah, he is enormous. There's a scene. there is a scene where he is has a conversation with a Nazi officer who is... he's an interesting character. I'll just put it that way. Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell is not particularly tall. And no. Stephen Merchant is like 8 feet taller than he is practically. It's a great conversation. And they use that height difference to kind of accentuate what's going on there. But Merchant's terrifying because he's this SS officer, but he has a few funny lines as well. So absolutely great movie. You definitely should review it next week because I'm looking forward to what you have to say about it. Anyway,
I'll see what I can do. But let's see, we'll go from your movie, which is about wartime, which includes bombs. And I'm going to review the first bomb of this year. See, I'm doing the segue thing, and we can even do the Sam Rockwell thing, because the first bomb of this year starred Robert Downey Jr., both of whom were in Iron Man 2. That's,
there we go.
Yeah, that's stretching it a bit, but it'll do.
It'll work.
The first bomb of this year, unfortunately, I don't think was, or at least it shouldn't have been. I'm talking about Doolittle.
Ooh.
Which, I gotta admit, I was very hesitant to see this because I've not seen the original version, which came out in, 1800s something.
Yes.
The story has been around for a very long time. But I had seen the Eddie Murphy versions, and I'll be honest, they did not do much for me. But the Robert Downey Jr. version that came out, a couple weeks ago, was based more on the original stories. It's set way back when. I'm not entirely sure of the time scale. It's late 1800, early 1900. One goes, at no point does someone hold up a calendar and go, it's this year. Oh, thank you. That was helpful.
That's a shame.
That can't be why the movie bombed. It had a budget of $175 million. And has so far made 132, which is not good. But I suspect this movie is going to be it's going to become like a cult classic, people watch it at home kind of movie. Because it's got spectacular CG, especially with the animals. I'm sorry, I forgot the story bit. If you don't know the story, it's basically a doctor who can talk to animals and becomes this magnificent, not just vet, but he's also a very good doctor. The plot for this basically is that the queen is dying, and she's the one who set up this reserve for Doolittle to live on. And if she dies, then he loses the reserve. So he has to basically come out of hiding, which he's gone into hiding because his wife died, which is very sad and tragic and stuff. But all the animals talk him into going and fixing the queen. So he takes these animals with him. Not all of them, but the elephant is not going to fit in the queen's chambers.
True.
But like a dog with him as a diagnostic tool. What do you smell about her that smells funny? Oh, it's this poison. okay, so we need to go find the cure for this poison. And that's the quest of the movie, which has all of the animals are not real. They're all computer generated. But you know what? It doesn't matter. They all look good. It's got a good story. It's got an incredible cast. Just check out the cast alone. You've got Robert Downey Jr., who everybody loves. Antonio Banderas, Michael Sheen, and Jim Broadbent are both your bad guys. The animals are voiced by Emma Thompson, Rami Malek, Tom Holland, Ralph Fiennes, Selena Gomez, and the polar bear is John Cena. I did not actually know that until after I watched the movie and I'm watching the credits going, okay, so who was the polar bear? John Cena, that fits. Okay, I get it. But it works. It's there's a lot of humor in this movie. And you know what? Yeah, I think it's better than the Eddie Murphy version because a lot of the Eddie Murphy stuff ended up being, there were too many fart jokes for me.
I haven't seen the Eddie Murphy versions, but I was thinking that's what you're going to say because that's where his comedy went for a long time, unfortunately.
It was. And there is, I will admit, one massive fart joke in this movie, but it does make sense. It's not just a random one. It makes sense and you can see it coming and you prep for it and just kind of go, kids, don't listen to this bit. Or do. It doesn't matter. It makes sense in terms of the story. It's a very family-friendly movie, which I think is something you don't see very much. Farmageddon counted. Doolittle counted. Name another big family-friendly movie for the entire family that came out last year. You've got a lot that came out for kids. I'm not sure Frozen 2 counts because I know a lot of adults who went, oh, God, not another one.
What was that serial killer movie that I really like? No, yeah. Not a whole lot, really. Yeah.
My point.
Right, exactly.
It's still in theaters. Sometimes it's probably going to be in your dollar theater. Go see it. And when it comes out, buy the DVD. Make your kids watch it because I know the kids are going to go, I don't want to watch this because that's what mine did. I said, no, we're going to see this. I need a second opinion. And about halfway in, my kids are hooked. They really enjoyed this movie. I think your kids, provided you have kids, will really enjoy it. And you know what? If you don't have kids, go see it anyway because it's a fun film. It's something definitely worth watching, as is Shaun the Sheep and Jojo Rabbit.
So in your estimable judgment, why is it underperforming? I won't say it's flopping, but why is it underperforming?
No, I'll say it's flopping. Near as I can tell, Bad Boys 2 beat it out. Too many parents said, no, I want to go see Will Smith and the other one, help me out.
Martin
Lawrence, thank you. I can picture him. I can probably say a few of his lines. Can I remember his name? No. I think it's that adults don't have the money to go to see movies twice in a week because MoviePass died. That's my excuse for them not having it. So they're choosing to go see the adult film that they're fairly certain is going to be good, as opposed to taking the kids to a family-friendly movie, being uncertain about it. That's all I can come up with. I cannot see why.
See, on the face of it, I was going to say, if they're taking their kids to go see Bad Boys, they're making some bad choices.
Well, yeah, they leave the kids at home.
But parents do that kind of stuff. Some parents do that kind of stuff, unfortunately.
Deadpool isn't a kid's movie, but it's based on a comic book. No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Horrifying. Kind of odd. It's gotten... Wow,
it's not getting good reviews either.
Yeah, it's gotten some terrible reviews. Lots of terrible reviews, I should say.
I'm not sure why.
Weird. Yeah.
It looks good to me. Granted, I just watched it the once.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, you shouldn't have to watch a film more than once to figure out if it's good or bad. And I'm sure, I'm curious. I'm going to trust your judgment more than most of the critics because I know you and I don't know most of these critics. So there you go.
Except for that guy from the Today Show with the big mustache.
Ugh. Okay. Why is he? Never mind. I shouldn't say that.
Is he still going?
He might get hit by a car eventually. I don't want to say anything bad about him.
I thought he was dead. Really? He's still around?
No, I think he is. I think Gene Shalit passed away. And certainly his work has. But it's, I've seen the original Doolittle movie, and I'm not a fan of that movie. I mean, it's kind of cute, but I never was a fan of Rex Harrison. He's one of the practitioners of the I'm going to say this song because I can't sing. Hate that style. Absolutely hate that style. So
he's rapping, man.
Not a fan of that. If he was, it'd be cool. But yeah, it's surprising that it's not done as. I mean, 130 million is like, you know, and we scoff as like, wow, that's terrible. Jojo Rabbit made half of that, less than half. So, you know, it all depends. It all depends, of course, on the expectations. I mean, like you said, what was the budget on this? 160, 170?
175.
Right, which is why 130 is
not good.
And it's only been out a couple of weeks, but that's right. That's not good. These
like
days,
said, it's already going to dollar theaters.
That's these days,
globally.
Right. It should have, if it was a giant hit, it would have done that the first week. Could have done it the first weekend. So it's kind of surprising. Maybe it was the wrong time of year to release. It is the wrong time of year to release a family picture.
Summer release, I think it would have been better.
Right. And I know they hit the window of, it's not spring break, but of the holiday vacation. But still, that only gives you a week. So it's kind of an odd time to release it. And why didn't they just hold it back for summer? But studios make some interesting choices sometimes. I'm shocked that it didn't do more just based on Robert Downey Jr.,
yeah,
just on this, and I'm sure the studio is too, based on his star power and the fact that this thing has been done before. And maybe part of it is the holdover from the second Doolittle movie that Eddie Murphy did. I mean, that's a long time ago.
I think he did three.
But, oh, yeah, you know what? I think you're probably right. Or maybe the problem is he didn't do three. Maybe there's a third one and he wasn't in it. So, you know, like the Home Alone movies. Once you take out the star, and you just start making sequels just to make sequels, it's like it just, people are like, no, I'm done
this
with this
concept.
This
is unrelated to the other ones. Go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm as surprised by that as I was that there was no figure of Chewbacca or R2-D2.
So we have three movies we should go see. Two of them you can actually go see at the movie theater.
What a concept. So, that's what you should do this week. Because, next weekend... 3-day weekend, 4-day weekend for my kids. They get off Valentine's Day, which is just bizarre in my head because that's when we used to give out Valentines. But if you don't want to do that this year, that's fine. Instead, you know, save your money on these crappy little cards that the kids are going to throw away and use that money to get out and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Hey, who turned out the light?